sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
On today's show, you'll hear part two of former CIA agent and whistleblower Kevin Shipp. The first part was aired a few weeks ago and can be accessed at the website radioforall.net. Once on the site, search under my name, Cheryl, with a C. This second part of the speech you're about to hear was given in the fall of 2016 in Northern California. Kevin Shipp frequently refers to Dane in the speech, and by this he's referring to Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org, who has been very outspoken about chemtrails and climate engineering. Kevin Shipp recently published a book called In the Company of Shadows. And here he is, former CIA agent and whistleblower Kevin Shipp, sharing his inside knowledge from working at the CIA.
There are certain major newspapers, of which if I mentioned their name, you would know them. These are national papers that are communicating and directly connected, in this case, to the CIA and in some cases to the NSA. So if a whistleblower decides, I'm freedom of the press, man, I'm going to the press and I'm going to report to the press this illegal stuff that I've seen. So they call up XYZ national newspaper, and if you do enough checking, you'll find out who that is. I want to tell you my story. I want to tell you what I've seen. In this case, the reporter got right on the phone, contacted the CIA, and told them what this person had just reported for the story. That has been done several times with this paper. They communicate with the CIA regularly regarding what they're going to publish and what they're not going to publish. Chilling. I call this massive structure the shadow government. Another fellow calls it the deep state. Take your pick. But I want to show you how massive this secret government is. Now, this is since 9/11. I can tell you a lot of this was pre-existing 9/11. Most people think that the NSA surveillance program was a result of 9/11. Isn't that what you've been told? The NSA surveillance program existed before 9/11 happened. That's what they're not telling you. 1,271 government organizations involved in secrecy within the United States. 1,931 private companies, large private companies, involved in secrecy in the United States, bound by the secrecy agreement. 10,000 intelligence locations across the United States. Did you get that? 10,000 secret locations, not overseas, not in China, not in Indonesia, inside the United States. Now, the CIA legally is only supposed to have a foreign charter. Anybody know that? It was forbidden from having any operations within the United States. That was its restraint. That restraint is now gone. 10,000 locations. 4.8 million Americans, and that's just the ones we know of, hold government security clearances and are bound by and threatened by the secrecy agreement to stay silent. Now, the figure's a lot bigger than that, but that's a lot of people and their families and everybody that they're connected to. Do you think they're going to speak up if it means total destruction? Probably not. 854,000 people hold top secret security clearances, which has severe penalties, and there's compartments above that, some of which I had, that have even stricter penalties. But that is the number of people that have top secret security clearances where they've got the keys to the kingdom, essentially. Each one of these agencies employs the secrecy agreement as a binding tool. Now, it used to be to protect legitimate classified information. It has morphed into a threatening tool to silence dissent. Of course, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the Department of State, Department of Justice, Department of Defense, Department of State, and now we know that NOAA and the National Weather Service are binding their employees with secrecy agreements. Why is the weather so secret? You gotta ask that, don't you? Maybe Dane's right? Why do they have to bind people like that? I am a huge proponent of the truth, and I am really, really against secrecy in a constitutional government unless it's absolutely necessary. Why would the National Weather Service make a weather program secret and make people sign a non-disclosure form? You gotta ask that question. The military-industrial complex, tens of thousands of government contractors. The government comes, for example, most people don't know this, the CIA has a technical firm it's created called InQtel. NQTEL offered, I think it was a $5 million contract to Google. Now, what they do is they come to these companies and they say, hey, we'll give you a contract for $5 million, $20 million. And most companies are thirsty and they're out trying to get contracts to survive. So they'll say, oh, but we'll take, yeah, we'll take the contract. Google took the contract, $5 million contract. They are now joined with the CIA in NQTEL. What are they doing? They're doing research on trends on the internet and Facebook. They're monitoring the internet is what they're doing. Let me just break that down for you. Now, do you think any of the Google executives can talk about the program? Do you think maybe they made them sign an agreement before they got the $5 million? Yeah. Why don't you hear anything about that? Why isn't Google saying anything about that? Well, that's why. Employees at every level. If you've got big-time Beltway Bandit government contractor X that gets a covert agency contract, they are bound to sign the secrecy agreement, and every employee at every level on that contract has to sign the agreement. Secretaries, logistics people, of course the CEOs, people that run the copy machines, all bound by the secrecy agreement. Thousands and thousands of people. You see the number of people that are bound by the government out there? Are you kind of getting that picture? It's a lot, and that's just the ones that we know of. Here's a good quote. The top secret world of government created in response to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001 has become so large, so unwieldy, and so secretive that no one knows how much money it costs, how many people it employs, how many programs exist within it, or exactly how many agencies do the same work. And then I italicize the next one. Not even Congress knows the size and the extent of this intelligence secret apparatus. That's why I call it the shadow government. They don't even know how big it is. They don't even know a lot of things that the CIA, especially, and others are even engaged in overseas. Syria is a prime example. This is a separate secret government that operates, and this is the part that really gets to me, it operates outside the Constitution. We are now in a post-constitutional government. It's over, as far as the Constitution goes. That's why I'm here. Some of us want to bring that back. And the only way to do it is to stand up against this. And there's risk involved, but we have to do it. Because if we don't, we're going down. Have we created a monster? My gosh. If you knew the size and extent, it's yes, we have. It's shocking. Now, Dane played this, and I want to emphasize this, because this is more than a smoking gun. When the director of the CIA comes out, anybody know anything about the Council on Foreign Relations? Uh-huh. So you know who he's talking to, don't you? All right. Little global action going on here. All right. But when the director of the CIA comes out and makes a speech, every word is refined, winnowed down, and everything he says means something. Everything. Listen to what he says. Another example is the array of technologies often referred to collectively as geoengineering. Kudos to Dane. They're coming out and they're saying it. That potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change, one that has gained my personal attention. Geoengineering has gained the personal attention of the director of the CIA. That means something. Is stratospheric aerosol injection or SAI? Now let me tell you, based on my humble and meek experience, when the CIA comes out and admits something like this, they've been doing it for at least 20 years. That's the first thing. The second thing is, it's about to be exposed, or he wouldn't be saying this. This is beyond a smoking gun. Now, some people will say, you just got that off a conspiracy internet website. I mean, come on. Well, you know where I got this from? CIA.gov, the CIA's own website. They're putting it out there on their website in writing. Now, why would they do that? Unless it's the two things I just talked about. They've been doing it for a while, then the cat's about to come out of the bag. The vax people are going to do such a much better job in this, but I just wanted to mention, because I hate cover-ups, because I lived one, personally. And that's what's happening with the vaccine-autism connection in a big way. Covering up the truth at the expense of young children and their health, and the families that are ruined because of this. So you want to know the connection between autism and vaccines? You know who the first people to ask are? The parents. The ones who saw their child's behavior before the vaccine and what happened after the vaccine. One of the doctors on Vax said that real medicine is an art where you listen to the patient and you watch. That was a wonderful statement. Only a parent knows what their child was like before that vaccine and what their child was like after the vaccine. And if the doctor was honest and not connected to big pharma and money, he would listen to that parent. And if the CDC really was open to a true investigation, they would conduct studies to find out how this was happening, number one, and number two, how they can possibly treat these children, wouldn't they? Why are they not? billions of dollars. Let's just start with that. Nature of government, that also. There are independent doctors. I know one myself, a big fan of his, has a whole page on autism, brilliantly written. So there are doctors out there that are talking about this stuff. I want to give kudos, too, to the courageous lawyers that are standing up for this stuff. You guys and ladies are in here. Hats off to you, man. That's raw courage. That's the kind of courage we need. And I'm telling you, if there's attorneys watching this, your country is at stake. Your freedom is at stake. This is the final hour. We are coming down to the perfect storm. Put your reputation down and come out and stand with these people and have the guts and the courage to support your Constitution. Because if you don't, we've got maybe half a decade at most before this comes down. So thank you to the attorneys. That is true courage. The vax people will talk about this, the CDC insider that is going to be talking about some of these things. There are some people still out there that have courage. That's what we need today, is that kind of courage. The age of cowardice in the United States and being caught up in your pension and being caught up in how much you make and your next promotion and your granite countertops and all of that, those days are gone. We're on the precipice of big danger environmentally and economically. The dollar will collapse. It will collapse eventually. The IMF just recognized the Chinese yuan as a reserve currency. The Chinese has been buying gold to back that up. We owe them $1.5 trillion. They can't call that debt because we can't pay it. What they can do is make the yuan the reserve currency. When that happens, the United States economy collapses and the dollar is no longer of any value. Okay, so what do you do? I saw this happen to me personally. My wife and especially my oldest son were almost terminal. They covered it up. They told me I could never say I work for the CIA. They told them they could never tell anybody about their case because of the state secrets privilege. What do you do in a case like that? Well, there's only one thing to do. You write an expose. So I wrote from the company of shadows. Not for self-glorification, trust me. There was none of it in that. It was one heck of a battle. When the book was written, this is one of the excerpts from the book, one of the pages of many. There is nothing classified in this excerpt at all. Nothing. It's talking about Blackout began receiving threatening letters accusing them of security violations and commanding them not to exchange correspondence with our family. It's just a system that they use of intimidation is what it's talking about, and they blacked it out. Now, based on an executive order issued by President Ronald Reagan, for the CIA to black information out because of negligence or because of it's embarrassing is illegal. It's criminal to do that. Violation of the Constitution, supreme law of the land. Well, they did. So, here's another excerpt from the book. Now, this talks about what they do to the families. They take away their names. They give them fake names like the Doe family. There's fake names here that are blacked out. They're not even their real names. They're fake names, but they black them out. Because they don't want you to know that they use fake names to cover the identities of innocent mothers and children who have been exposed to serious toxins in a secret government program. This picture that I put in the book has a lot of meaning. I'll explain that to you in a moment. Down at the bottom, Blackout's identities are, and case facts are hidden in secret. That's not even their name behind that blackout. It's a general term. They didn't want anybody to know that they do this to civilians. Real important. So what did I do? I call this in chapter 25, the tyranny of secrecy. We have a tyrannical government that is now functioning with a huge abuse of secrecy and silencing anybody that will stand against it by classifying everything. This photograph here, when I wrote the book, and they blacked these things out, I had a decision to make. What am I going to do about this? I swore an oath to the Constitution. Who's going to win, government intimidation or the Constitution? Well, it's a painful choice, but it's kind of an easy one. So I built a code into the book. I referred to it as a shadow code, and there are things in it like this. This shadow is the actual shadow of the young man that almost died from this toxic exposure. They didn't know whose shadow that was. They do now. Down here, it says, my family was devastated by our government's abuse of blackout. They don't want you to know how they tried to silence me. They blacked it out. Although it's out there in the public and other places. There's studies this thick written on that. So I built a code into the book. It's a numerical code, and it weaves through there. And if you follow the numerical sequence, it opens up what these blackouts actually say and what they use to try to silence our family. Okay? I learned one thing. If you play by their rules, they will destroy you. If you realize that freedom is only in the truth and you come out full bore and just lay it out there, that's probably why I'm still alive today. You go out on the internet and you see things like, I'm surprised this guy's not in a dumpster. Well, I'm still alive because I came out. I have this thing called the Constitution and freedom of speech. I came out full bore and made this stuff public. If you fear them, they have you. That's how they do it. They manipulate the American people through intimidation and fear. Do not fear. If you don't fear the government, you're truly free. So, as I wrap this up, this is a time for courage. As I mentioned, the age of cowardice in the United States are being too busy trying to survive. Those days are gone. The environment is collapsing. Our economy is on the verge of collapse. The federal government has programs in place that when the economy does collapse, to take care of civil unrest in a very extreme fashion. Some of you know about that. It's a very serious time. It's a time for courage. It's a time for truth. Secret activity, especially illegal secret activity, is like scorpions and cockroaches. You turn the light on and they can't handle it, man. They scramble for the nearest bookshelf or what, right? So it is with government. The founding fathers wrote document after document after document saying the Constitution was created to protect the people from the tyranny of government because government will go evil every time. That's its nature. The Bill of Rights was not written to govern the people. It was written to protect the people from the tyranny of government. That's the whole reason it was written. Courageous people like Dane, Geoengineering Watch. Does that look like a normal sky to you? God bless Dane for what he's doing. You know, he is doing this out of character, really. Raw courage and character at personal sacrifice. And I'll have to tell you, Dane is the one that got me to come back in from the wilderness, from off the grid, because I had seen this go up to such high levels, and I know some of the penetrations in the media. I had just had it. So I went off building my little off-the-grid farm and put up our solar panels, and I think Dane worked me over for a couple of months. And finally, I said, you know, this guy's really a man of integrity, and I'll do it. And that's why I'm here, honestly. It's because of Dane. So I thank you, Dane. I appreciate that. I have to sit, my wife and I have to sit on our beautiful off-the-grid farm, get up in the morning, and we have to see this sky over Vidalia, Georgia. What used to be a beautiful blue sky, we have to sit there and watch this on a Monday, 94 degrees centigrade, 9 o'clock in the morning. Tuesday morning, it's not there. All those trails are gone. There's an ongoing joke I have with my wife. I'll lean to Sue and I'll say, man, it looks like they canceled all the traffic, air traffic over Georgia. There's no condensation anywhere. You see what a joke that is? One day, the laws of physics are one way, and the next day, all the laws of physics change. One day, there's trails. The next day, they canceled all the flights over Georgia. There's, you know, I mean, come on. How ridiculous can it get? But it ruins our skyline. You know, I left, went off the grid, out in the wilderness, to get away from government tyranny and all the ugliness I've seen, and now I have to sit on my front porch and see them do it again in the sky. We have got to bring the truth in about autism. There are kids suffering. It is now, by all scientists read, it is an epidemic, exponential epidemic. This is so serious. We've got to stop accepting the intimidation, the career destruction, the attacks on reputation, and I've got to give the vax people, I love people that have the guts and the courage to take the heat that the establishment is throwing at them and keep going anyway. Call me what you want, pal. I'm going to keep going and nothing's going to stop me. That's what they're doing. And you don't know how refreshing it is for me to see that, having kind of been alone for several years in this. All right. We have got to stop government's tyrannical overreach of our entire lives. They've been following, bugging, and eavesdropping on every single thing that we do for way too long. They've been scaring us and intimidating us into not rocking the boat for way too long. I like to put it this way. You got a neighbor who comes to you and says, hey, two guys from the Lions Club were knocked on my door. They're asking questions about you. Okay, no big deal. What if that neighbor comes to you and says, hey, man, two guys from the CIA knocked on my door and they're asking questions about it. How are you going to feel? What are you going to feel? Fear. That's their weapon. Another analogy I like to use is these agencies, the CIA and others, are like the Wizard of Oz. Remember that movie? The big, I'm big, powerful Oz. Lightning bolt shooting out of us. You will not mess with me or you will be destroyed. And then the dog pulls the curtain away and there's this little tiny guy in there working the levers. That's our government. They want us to be scared of them with this big, mean face, but they're a bunch of little tiny bureaucrats pulling levers trying to make you afraid of them, and that's how they do it. What do we have? What do we need to bring back is this. We, the people, are supposed to run our government, not the other way around. They are supposed to work for us, not us for them. And the only thing that's going to change this is courage. People like many of you out there, they're standing up and saying, enough is enough, not anymore, not my country, you don't, not my constitution, you don't. I want to leave you with one final thought. Please remember this, because this is what it all comes down to. I learned this personally. As long as I feared them covering up this case, Not only were they winning, they were breaking into my house, they were drugging my dog, they were painting chemicals on the ceiling. But once I decided I'm not going to be afraid of you anymore, I'm coming out full bore, and I'm coming out against you full bore all the way, that's when things started to work on our side. And that's when we started to win, and that's how we got the book out. When I made that decision, I will not fear you, the last thing I told them was this, and then I'll put this quote up. Last thing I said to them, I said, the same courage that made me a good CIA officer here with you is the same courage that is enabling me to stand up against you now. And that's the last thing I told them before I walked out the door. And they know it. So I want you to remember this as I close. When people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, when they fear you, there's liberty. And that's what it's all about. Thank you very much.
You were just listening to the second part of a speech given by CIA whistleblower Kevin Shipp, whose book is called From the Company of Shadows. And now we'll hear a short clip by author Doug Valentine, whose latest book is called The CIA as Organized Crime. This clip comes from a recent interview by Sean Stone and was aired on RT.
The CIA is not a social services organization. It's not a law enforcement organization. It works on behalf of the major corporations and the establishments in the United States, which historically are equated with the state being the financial institutions, industry that provides jobs for many Americans, all the different industries that are taken together. These are the industries in the United States. It's financial institutions are felt to be the segment of the United States that has the greatest stake in the United States, that invests the most of its own money into the United States, and thus, when it's called the establishment, rules the United States through its own secret agreements. And it does so not in support of average Americans. Its goal is not to make sure that there's universal health care or that everybody has a doctor or gets medical need, as is in the case of many other nations. Its single purpose is to serve the interests of these major industrialists who compose the establishment in the United States. And then at the very highest levels, the people in these industries work hand in hand with the senior executive management in the CIA, and they work together towards mutual ends. And this is the essence of American imperialism, is that it's always advancing the economic interests of the United States abroad. Its goal is to pave the way for American corporations to gain a foothold or expand their influence overseas.
And we'll end the show today with another clip from a Sean Stone interview, this time with Sonoma University professor Peter Phillips, also of Project Censored, discussing the media and propaganda in America.
Well, the corporate media is in the entertainment business. They're not in the news business. So they're looking for stories that are going to be something that will be stimulating or building people's curiosity, and something that has an emotional content. People died, bombs went off, that sort of thing. So most of the stories in corporate media today are coming from what we call public relations and propaganda firms. So they are prepackaged. So if we look at the news, whether it's a newspaper or in corporate media, 80% of all the news stories are being funneled through a public relations propaganda firm, either government or a private firm. And that's the study that we worked on.
Here he's asked what companies are involved in using these PR firms and propaganda.
All the big corporations in the world, the corporate 500, the corporate 1000, any product you see in a supermarket like Safeway has a public relations company that's marketing for them. There's really any difference between public relations advertising and propaganda. You're making an attempt to persuade people to think a certain way, buy something, or support a political position in some capacity. So these companies do both. They work for government, they work for private corporations, they work for nonprofits, and they're worldwide. So the largest ones are WPP, Omnicom, and Interpublic Group. And these are massive corporations, $35 billion a year in sales.
And next he's asked about the connection between the corporate media and the military-industrial complex.
Well, the corporate media is continually working with the military-industrial complex in the sense that we actually say the military-industrial media complex, because they're so interlocked. And the Pentagon will release a listings of these 100 ex-generals or ex-admirals are approved for use by corporate media or recommended. And when they recommend, that's who gets on the air. There's a relationship between continuing to convince the American public that the military is there to support and protect them versus the real fact that the U.S. empire, military empire, 700 bases worldwide, and NATO together are really about protecting centralized capital in the world. That's the transnational capitalist class, the 0.001% of the people who control $100 trillion worth of wealth. They want to be able to invest that wealth anywhere in the world and have no interference from other governments. So that's what the military empire is about, is protecting their capital. It's not about protecting us. But the media is there to convince us that they're there to save us from terrorism and other threats.
And here he's asked about Operation Mockingbird.
Well, after the church committees and the revelation that Operation Mockingbird was a program the CIA was running across the country, and they had thousands of journalists that they were paying to do stories, they're no longer allowed to pay American journalists. They can still pay foreign journalists. But we believe that there's still some very tight relationships between being a journalist in cahoots, so to speak, with a central intelligence agency. So you get special stories, you get insight, you have access, and as far as we know, probably there's still some money being exchanged.
And here he's asked about the propaganda that was used in the lead up to the first Gulf War.
Well, that was the story of Nayira, who went before Congress with tears in her eyes, said they dumped the babies out of the incubators and stole the incubators and took them back to Baghdad. It was essentially not true. Helen Knowlton, the public relations firm that now works for WPP, choreographed the whole thing with cooperation from the White House. So these were deliberate lies. So that was deliberately a fake news. Then we called it disinformation. Disinformation essentially means the same thing. It's a deliberate lie. And misinformation can be something that's a mistake. You may or may not know it's deliberate. But in this case, it was for Nayira and that story, it was clearly a deliberate lie. Sometimes we simply don't know. And in terms of President Trump saying that Syria used nerve gas on their own people, we don't know that to be true. There's no evidence other than there was a bombing raid, but that plane delivered sarin gas. There's no evidence of that. So if anything, that's misinformation. And corporate media in the U.S., for a while, when they first started, when that first happened, they're saying alleged attack of sarin gas. And then it very quickly became, within a couple of days, almost factual that Assad had used sarin gas on his own people. The rest of the world and media, corporate media, sees it differently and that it's still to be determined. When it comes to corporate media, and if you don't have independent sources, you're getting mostly propaganda. You're getting a very straightforward State Department, Pentagon approach to how they see the world and without a critical eye or view from other sources. So that makes stations like RT, Telesur, and other sources of independent news, Global Research, Truthout, very important for the American public to have access to other points of view and other stories. Now, they've been trying to call that fake news or propaganda news from the other side, and that's simply wrong. I think that's where the term fake news has emerged. It's just trying to discredit, like WikiLeaks and some of these other organizations that are releasing factual information and doing a really good job of telling us what's going on, and they want to try to convince the American public that, well, that's fake, and if you can only listen to MSNBC or Fox, and that'll tell you the real truth. Disinformation, misinformation, biased news happens daily from a variety of sources. The public relations firms are hired to present a spin or an image of what's happened. There's 3,000 PR people that work in government and they do press releases constantly. So they're trying to put the best light on their employer. And that's just a natural process that we have to sort through and figure out and be able to objectify academically, and at universities we do this, to be able to look at it and say, well, wait a minute, there's more to this story, there's other aspects of that. And that's what our research program, Project Sensitive, is doing now for 40 years.
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.